Those of us who work in high tech can often get waylaid by notions that it's all about the data, when what truly makes all of this work is people. This is what Andy Zollo instinctively knew, but proved in a remarkably inspiring way, taking his wanderlust, his technical brilliance, and his curiosity and setting up shop in Singapore. As he relays in this episode, he quickly went from a stranger in a strange land to a friend among friends. His is a lesson in adventure and true human connection, a core component of business success for any industry. I'm Steve Prentice, and this is the Thales Security Sessions Bite-Size Podcast. These bite-sized podcasts are an opportunity for us to learn more about the people behind Thales Technology. My guest on this episode is Andy Zollo, Regional Vice President for Thales Security Products in Asia Pacific and Japan. His stock in trade, if you will, is data and technology, but in reality, he shows how people make the difference and how an adventurous spirit can take you just where you need to go.
Okay, so as you can probably tell from my accent, I'm a Brit. I was born and raised in the UK. I went to university in the west of England, a great city called Bristol. My DNA is actually 100% Italian. So my mother and father are both from Italy, came to the UK after the war. And I'm now living in Singapore after also a two-year stint in the US. So I've moved around a fair bit. Originally, when I went to university, I always wanted to be a pilot for the Royal Air Force. But I ended up doing a degree in computing. And part of that degree was a year in industry with a company called Honeywell, again in Bristol. I found myself in indirect sales and actually really enjoying it. So rather by accident than by design, I ended up in the IT industry. I've done various roles over these years, mainly in networking and cyber vendors. And my journey to Thales was actually via Imperva. So I joined Imperva 3 years ago to run the Europe, Middle East and Africa team. And after the acquisition, I was asked if I would move to Singapore to run the APJ team. I accepted that very, very quickly because from afar, I always knew it was a fantastic team over there. And the opportunity to come and work and be part of Asia was something exciting to me and my wife. I have two older sons, so I didn't have to worry about them. They're both still living in the UK and funnily enough, both working in IT sales as well. So kind of following in dad's footsteps.
I have to ask, when you were thinking about becoming a pilot, did you learn to fly?
Yes, so I was in the Air Cadets as soon as I could sign up. So I think that was 13 at the time. And part of that, you first started with gliding. So in a little place in Wiltshire in the UK called Upavon. So I can still vividly remember my very first solo glider flight. End of the day, sun was just setting. And a great experience when you're 16 years old and being chucked up in an aircraft by yourself. After that, at university in Bristol, I joined the officer training corps there. So again, to sort of keep my hand in. As well as actually ending up, as I say, working with Honeywell, I met who is now my wife there. And I guess the combination of those two things kind of meant I drifted away from wanting to go into the military into a different career. But it's something, you know, I watched Top Gun, love it still get a thrill out of watching aircraft and actually being part of Thales. Just yesterday, we were up at the avionics facility in Changi in Singapore. I still get a bit of a buzz out of that. So if I could have life again, I wouldn't change anything. But that's one thing I would have liked to have done.
Okay, so this is what got you down to the Singapore area. Having, again, grown up in the UK and with an Italian background, what did you find was the biggest shift for you, either culturally or professionally? Were you already familiar with the territory? Had you been there before? Or was it brand new for you?
Kind of familiar. So in previous roles in previous companies, I had a global role. So I did a reasonable amount of work, but mainly in Australia, which culturally was very, very similar to Europe. The team I'd met at annual events, sales kickoff, etc. So, you know, I knew several of the guys over here. But I can't say I really had embedded myself in Asia. So it really was a new experience. We've traveled a lot. So we've enjoyed lots of great holidays in the region. So that gives you a flavor of what to expect. But it's very, very different vacationing and actually working. So one of the things Thales very kindly did is they gave us some time with a kind of cultural advisor who lived in Singapore for, I think, for about 10 years. So that was really, really useful to kind of just understand part of the DNA. And as I've been here now almost a year, you see a lot of that that I sort of learned from the training. So that was useful. My wife and I lived in the US for a couple of years as well, but again, culturally the same as the UK and Europe. But just getting used to even the basic things, right? About you arrive over here. Oh, how do I get a bank account? How do I get a cell phone? All of those starting from zero that you take for granted when you're back in the UK. But I guess with Singapore, very, very fortunate in that, many years ago when Lee Kuan Yew kind of created Singapore, one of the key things was everyone must speak English. So that makes it very easy for a
Yes.
Brit coming into the region. And again, culturally, same, same, but different. One of the things in IT sales, it's very much a meritocracy. So, I see that very common across wherever I am. But I would say here in Singapore and Asia, it's much more aspirational than I see elsewhere. So if you can imagine, you've got a culture of highly aspirational, meritocracy based. So these guys do work very, very, very hard work. And once they get the sort of tappings of their rewards, et cetera, they do like to display that, which is something very different to what I find in Europe and the West potentially. So in terms of, coming over here, it was pretty new. I could say I probably understood 5%. Don't pretend to be at 100% yet, but every day there's something new being learned. And, as I walk down the street with my wife, I know we're the two guys that stand out here, right? Especially being short of hair. But you don't feel like the foreigner. You're made to feel very, very welcome. But at times, you're the guy who's different from everyone else.
In this sort of global era, I'm sure that becomes a little bit less strange than it was, a few decades ago. But for those who are not familiar, what's the politics? What's the sort of the social situation and structure in Singapore?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. They don't kind of talk about politics in Singapore. So, for me coming here as a Western European guy, I would say whatever the politics are, they've done a good job of creating a very, very stable country. It's very, very safe to walk around Singapore. I could leave my iPhone on a table in a restaurant, go to the bathroom, come back, and it's still going to be there. So, I think in terms of the politics, I would say it's very benevolent. Because it's a wonderful place to live. I think the government done a great job in terms of, having nice areas to be around. You feel very proud of the city. I have to say, I'm kind of a proud Singaporean now. So the politics to me, I'd say, are very benevolent, a lot more long-term thinking. Even though it's a democracy, you don't tend to have that switching from one government to another and the flip-flopping between one and the other. Again, I think it's very, very business focused. I think the government here understand there's no real natural resources. So they really have to attract foreign business, foreign trade. And they've done a phenomenal job of that when you think it's a 60-year-old country. And just as an example, if you compare to the UK, it was half the GDP per capita of the UK when it started. It's now double the GDP per capita of the UK. So to me, as the outsider, I would say it's a benevolent government here, very focused on youth and skills. We just celebrated the 60th birthday, and the whole thing was about youth. So there's a lot of investment in younger people, bringing the skills into the country and skilling up the locals. I'd say they're very smart people here as well. So I'd say to me, it's a benevolent government, but people don't tend to talk about government over here. I think it's that they know what they've got, don't particularly want to talk about it, but are happy at the same time.
And so turning around facing outwards from the country, what do you sort of perceive their role in the global economy would be in terms of what would a European or North American person see as saying, yeah, that's something that Singapore does very well. When we think about some of the major economic centers like China and the US, what does Singapore stand out or characterize themselves as?
Yeah, well, I guess it's a trading post, right? I mean, if you just look out of my window now and I can see the Straits of Singapore, it's just absolutely full of shipping, right? It's a I think one of the world's largest trading ports, and that's really where everything started. And off the back of that, then you start to see other businesses grow that are related to it. As a financial center, again, if I look out of the window, I can see most of Asia's largest banks that all happen to be our customers as well, which is very satisfying. So I think, as a trading post, financial, and again, it's a strong economy. It's growing at 2.5% GDP at the moment, which is way above expectations. So I think, in terms of trading, finance, they're probably the two key things traditionally, but now we're seeing much more tech over here. So, for example, Thales has opened up the Cortex Center here in Singapore. So, we're attracting more and more people to help us develop AI and our AI strategy. So, you are seeing this place now become much more of a technical hub. And that's Singapore specifically, which is very different, I would say, to the rest of the region still.
As a seasoned traveler, having worked in the UK and also in the US as well, did you find that you had to modify your approach to leadership or collaboration with the things you had to cast off and learn afresh when you started working there?
Yeah, probably the toughest thing for me is I think as a European, probably the same for the US, everybody is seen pretty much equal in the workplace. Whereas in this part of the world, the boss is the boss. And there's a respect that goes with that. But as someone who's used to the culture of, here's my thought, what do you reckon about that? Let's try to get some sort of collaboration. That was a little bit more difficult for me to kind of just accept and get on with because I don't want to lose who I am. You know, I'm still a massive believer in trust. I'm still a massive believer in if you think I've got a stupid idea that I've suggested, tell me, because I'd rather get it right. And again, depending on where you are, in Japan, that's very, very prevalent, as you could imagine. China to a degree, and definitely in Singapore, depending on the background of some of the people here, because as you could imagine, it's largely Malay and Chinese. So depending on those backgrounds. So I found that hard to get used to. I still do to a degree, but again, I'm kind of okay. Some of you guys at some point are going to end up in Europe or the States, because I think a lot of people still, whether they or their children want to do that. So I try to kind of say, well, this is how the culture in the business place is over there, you know, and try to get to a happy medium. So I think I'm getting there slowly but surely. I still feel, I wouldn't say uncomfortable with it, but now I'm used to it. So, you know, trying to get some of the people to open up is something that, you know, I'm trying to do and basically use those in proportion to that and listen more and maybe speak less. Relationships are important everywhere, right? The one common thing I get wherever I go in the world, especially in sales, are relationships are key. So I think to me that's a universal rule. But what I find here is the guys put in a lot of time outside of working hours, evenings, weekends to help build those relationships up with their customers. So the one thing I would say in particular, not just about Singapore, but Southeast Asia in particular, I am absolutely astounded at the relationships they have with customers. It's super, super close. I guess it kind of makes sense because it's still relatively small. So, you know, if you took Singapore, obviously it's an island, but even if you look at Thailand, Bangkok is where it's going on, for example. So those relationships, I would say, are far, far better than I've seen anywhere else in my career. I think the guys take time, get to know their customers very well, not just from a business point of view, to the point where they're pretty much friends. So it's not uncommon for me to walk out of my office here and find a bunch of customers just sitting down, having a coffee with the team outside of hours. And it's just like mates sitting down together. So I think the guys have done an outstanding job of that. So I think not only are relationships key, they really demonstrate how they've done it not just because it's business, right? I think they'd be the first to say, hey, maybe on this occasion, somebody else can do this better than we can, because they're looking for the long-term relationship. Again, if we do an event here, always full, always full. And when I chat with the customers, oh, I'm here because this guy I've known for 20 years, I've always worked closely with him. So that is very outstanding to me.
It sounds like you're saying that there's a good amount of balance in this social approach to after work.
That's a great word. Balance is definitely what I see here. I guess Singapore specifically, it's not a surprise because it's a small place. I mean, you've got a population of 5 million here. If you then look at who's in IT, if you look at who's in cybersecurity and look at the cohort, I think what I see is a lot of these guys have grown up together. It's almost like your favorite pop band. You know, you stick with them as you get older. But I do think there's a great balance here. As I said earlier, it's very much a meritocracy. So I think the people, you know, want to work hard so that they can have a good standard of living. But I think the balance I see is a lot of the customers and partners, they've become friends. You know, they say, if you enjoy what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's what I really do see here. The guys work incredibly hard. They're always there for their customers, evenings, weekends. But I think there's a good balance of having the good formal relationship when it's needed, but also being able to share a laugh and a beer and a coffee together, you know, on a more social aspect, which I think then really helps from a professional point of view as well. You know, it takes down any barriers. So, you know, when we first started talking about some of the different things we find in the region, you know, like any new person, there's always barriers to begin with, and you've got to break through those over time. So I think where people have spent time getting to know their customers, their partners, those barriers are gone. So you can have honest, frank conversations and actually make decisions far more quickly.
You enjoy what you're doing. What do you love about it the most?
I'd say there's several things, right? I really enjoy people. I find it fascinating, all sorts of different cultures, all sorts of different races. Obviously, as a Brit, I struggle with some of the languages. But I'm a big believer in you can learn something from any individual in the world. And having the opportunity to meet people from different cultures is fantastic. So I love that. I do like to travel to see these different places. So yeah, I've often said to my sales team, we are very privileged in that we have an organization that supports us getting out in front of our customers and pays us to go and do this. So I think a combination of the opportunity to meet new people, new cultures, even when I was in Europe, right? I mean, Europe's a huge place. Even in the US, different states, for example, they're very different from north to south, east to west. So I find that fascinating. I find there's nothing more interesting than standing at the arrivals area of an airport and seeing people come through. So, the people side of it, I would say I'm a relationship guy as well. In particular, I've always enjoyed channel selling more than personally direct selling because you get more of a chance to build a long-term relationship. I guess that's why I've been with my lovely wife for 33 years. So I'm a big believer in relationships and having the opportunity to do that long-term as well. And there's never a dull day, Steve. There's always something different going on. So I think in particular in cybersecurity, there's always some bad guys out there looking to do things we don't want them to. The attack vectors change, the technology for the attacks change. So we've always got that opportunity to be one step ahead, but there's always demand for what we do. So I think we're very privileged in that we get to meet lots of different people, different cultures. We're paid to travel to go and see these people. We're paid to educate these people. And we work in an environment which is changing every single day. So that's what I like about it. And I'm late 50s now, and I will keep doing this as long as I can
Yeah.
because every morning I get up and I still get a thrill out of it.
You are a student of human nature, which is a wonderful thing. I
Oh,
was
there you
thinking
go.
about, I used to talk about a concept called the Polaroid effect, which is, of course, a bit dated now, but the idea that, as you speak to somebody, it's like the old Polaroid photographs, that the colors emerge in front of your eyes, and someone that you could make an assumption with just by looking at them is often completely wrong and completely fascinating and fulfilling to learn about somebody. So I'm delighted to hear that you also enjoy that kind of discovery. So I only have one more question for you, and I know you have a busy day ahead of you. Let's imagine there's somebody else in tech who's considering doing what you have done to go to a different part of the world, a stranger in a strange land, and try out something like that, which I highly admire personally. What advice would you give them that perhaps you wish you had had received yourself before you left?
I would start by saying, just do it. Any concerns you have, put them to one side. A lot of people think, oh, it's me moving away from family, etc. I'm a big believer in I can get a half an hour trip to the airport, I can be on a plane and back in the UK in 14 hours. Yeah, it took me that long to drive to Scotland. So I would say just get on and do it. And I think just be open-minded. Different places do have a different culture, people are different. You're the foreigner in their country. So I think that's one thing I would definitely say. Just be very open-minded. Accept that people do things differently. The food's different. The music's different. The language is different. And just embrace it. Because I think at the heart of it, as human beings, we're all pretty much the same, right? We want to, work hard, do our piece, spend time with our friends and our family, and enjoy life as much as we can. So I would say to anybody thinking about doing it, I'd wish I'd done this a long, long, long time ago. And I would just say, yeah, get on that plane, move out, and you find your feet very quickly. Say, very lucky being in Singapore. Within 2 weeks, we were settled. Again, I'm very blessed that my wife, she had her own travel business, so she's a big traveler. She's very quickly got involved in volunteering for the British Association and various other things. So she's been the best ally for me to understand more of the local culture because she goes out every day and experiences it. So one thing I would say, you do need an understanding partner because, I'm on a plane every other week. So one of the key things for me is make sure your family, your partner are settled so you can carry on doing what you're doing without fear of, well, this isn't working. So I think if that's probably the one getaway. If you're coming here with a partner or family, you kind of have to make sure they have a very comfortable place to live, knowing that you're going to be traveling a lot. And I suppose that's no different from when you're back in your home country, but the difference is they don't have that support infrastructure around them at the time when you move to another place. But definitely just do it.
This is a day in the life of a Thales professional. Anything else you wish to add or include?
The only thing I would say, I mean, I put a post on LinkedIn the other day and it was celebrating Singapore's 60th birthday. And part of that, I did say, thanks to Thales for the opportunity. I feel very blessed that Seb Cano, the leader of our business unit, gave me the opportunity to come and do this. It's something I'll always be very appreciative of. Kind of owe one to Thales for that. So I think, you know, it's great to see them invest in people and give people the opportunity to do this. And as I go around Singapore, I see lots of French guys, German guys, people from all over the world. Likewise, I see a lot of Asians moving with the company to Europe. So embrace the opportunities that are there, but sometimes you have to go out and grasp it. Just don't wait for it to happen. You've got to declare what you want to do and be patient and make it happen. And certainly with Thales, I've seen this in many different areas. So I'm truly grateful to them for the opportunity.
Andy Zolo, Regional Vice President for Thales Cybersecurity Products in Asia Pacific and Japan. These are inspiring words. Thank you so much for joining me here today on the Thales Security Sessions Bite Size Podcast.
And thank you, Steve. It's been a real pleasure having a conversation with you and look forward to the next one, hopefully.
Remember, if you like what you hear, please be sure to subscribe and tell a friend or a colleague or a client or all of them about the Thales Security Sessions podcast series. Not just for the next episode, but for our valuable and thorough collection of past ones. All of these are on the topics that you need to know about to successfully carry on in the business of information security. We will be back again soon with another timely discussion. And until then, I'm Steve Prentice. Thanks for listening.